Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
I have two of them this hour. One is Doug Stives, resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show and a member of the Brain Trust, and the manager of the tax department at Kirchen & Company, the largest CPA firm in central New Jersey out of beautiful downtown Red Bank, New Jersey. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
It's good to have you with us. Are you rested up after the tax season?
Almost. It takes several weeks, Jim.
Oh, yeah, I understand. Well, our other guest is our good friend Rick Pinion, the newest member of our Brain Trust. Rick has over 25 years' experience in the financial services industry. He's the owner of Pinion Financial Services and a branch manager for Walnut Street Securities, I should say. He has a master's degree in business administration from the American University, and he's a chartered financial consultant and a chartered life underwriter. He is also a past president, something I'm very proud of him for, of the past president of the Potomac Chamber of Commerce. Many of you know, has been with us before to talk to us about pension plans and how he works with small businesses to help them with their pension plans. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim.
It's good to have you with us as well. And folks, what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be talking about actually a couple of directions. Number one is we're going to talk about how financial planners work with CPAs and how CPAs work with financial planners. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we're also going to talk about, once we get that off the table, we're going to talk about some of the specific plans that are out there for small businesses, for the owners and for their employees, and how you actually put all that together. We've got the people, the two of the professionals that you may want to have help you develop and administer and proceed with a pension plan. And what I'd like to do first is, Rick, I'd like for you to talk to us a little bit about how you as a financial planner work with CPAs.
Yes, Jim, that's a very important topic. As a matter of fact, CPAs are one of my favorite professional groups. The reason I say that is because over the years, I've worked with a number of CPAs. We've developed a very, very good working relationship. And I think the primary reason for that is that financial planners are in a position to refer large numbers of their clients to CPAs. And that's very, very important because CPAs do something special in terms of working out tax returns and helping financial planners come up with magic numbers. One of those magic numbers we'll be talking about today is the magic number that we need to fund pension plans. But there's also another reason, too. You know, technology is sweeping almost every industry today. And many of my clients come to me and say, you know, Rick, I've installed this new computer package to do my accounting, and I'm going to try and do it on my own this year. And I always caution them and say, look, you know, a machine is not going to take the place of a human being. You still need to consult with your CPA, because there's many things that they see that machine may not be able to do. And the other reason that CPAs work with financial planners is we're very good at doing seminars together. Seminars are very useful, especially for small business people, because they can go and learn a lot. I view financial planning as an interdisciplinary approach, and many times we've done seminars in the Washington area with both CPAs and attorneys. So I think we work very well together.
What would be some topics that you would? I mean, what would be some topics that you would cover when you worked with a CPA and a tax attorney in a seminar?
Well, I think the main thing, especially around tax time, is how small business owners can save money on taxes.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Jim, that's the tax laws have become so complicated that no one can figure them out anymore.
Right. Exactly. Doug, you're on.
Yes. Okay. The last thing that you just said is my favorite expression of the week, is the tax laws are so complicated nobody can figure them out. It's called job security, Jim. And, you know, it is almost an insult to the American public as to what Congress does all the time. And if I do nothing else this hour, I want to dispel anybody's thinking that Congress is going to simplify the tax law. That's just not in the cards.
Right.
And I also very much appreciate what Rick is saying, is it never ceases to amaze me what some taxpayers will do. They'll go buy a piece of software, or they'll go with a relative or a neighbor and say, oh, you know, not going to need your services this year, Doug. And stop and think with me for a minute. For most families, most middle-class families, and certainly all the high rollers, they're probably their single biggest expenditure in any one year is their federal income tax.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they'll try to save a couple hundred dollars by not going to a qualified tax preparer and striking out on their own. And, you know, going around to the small business angle of this whole topic for this morning is when we sit down with small businesses, some of them basically say, you know, I'm having a tough time getting my business going, and how can I save money? And that's when we do the reverse of what Rick was just saying. We say, well, let's get a planner to look at this whole situation with us, not instead of us, or, you know, not get rid of us and go to them, but let's work together. Let's try a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
I also like and agree with what Rick is saying about, you know, if you're going to put on a seminar, add some credibility to it. Bring in a lawyer. Sometimes we bring in a banker or an insurance specialist or whatever to work with us, and we found that our audiences really like that a lot. And if somebody does get up and say something that's incorrect or self-serving, you do have some balance there on your panel to set the audience straight.
Well, thank you for that, Doug. Doug and Rick, both of you, I appreciate those opening remarks. One of the things that that I try to do on this show, as both of you know, is I try to introduce the different professionals to my audience, two of which you two represent, the accounting industry and the financial planning industry. And I try to make sure that we talk about how to identify the good ones from the bad ones. And Doug, you have said to me that there are CPAs out there who don't measure up to your level of professionalism. And I know, Rick, you've seen that in your industry as well.
That's correct. And I think that's where we go through the credentialing process that's so important to everyone these days.
I would like to do that. That's something I'd like to do. In fact, we've just got a few seconds, Doug. I mean, Rick, start off. Tell us what would be an example of a credential to look for in a financial planner.
Well, I think there's three that we normally look for. One is a chartered financial consultant. The other is a certified financial planner. And the third would be a chartered life underwriter.
All right. Hold on to that. Doug, stand by. Rick, too. We're going to take a break. Folks, it's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Doug Stiles and Rick Pinion. Doug is a CPA. Rick is a financial planner. And we're talking about that issue and how it works with small businesses. And later, we're going to get into retirement plans. 888-822-8255. Join us if you would like. All right, we're back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Our special guests are two, Doug Stiles, resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show, and Rick Pinion, resident financial planner of the Small Business Advocate Show. And Rick, when we took the break, you were telling us a little bit about some of the credentials that you think that people should look for when they're trying to find a financial planner.
Right.
And you had talked about the Certified Financial Consultant, right, CFC.
Right. And I think there's three things to look for. One is educational credentials. The second is the licenses that are held by the individual.
Right.
And the third is the number of experience that they have.
Now, those licenses, what kind of licenses would they hold?
Well, let's see. I think probably the basic one would be a Series 6.
Mm-hmm.
The National Association of Security Dealers.
Right.
And a Series 6 enables a person to market products relating to mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the basic level.
Now, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, sorry.
Anyway, I was going to say also they should have licenses to do both life and health insurance as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, you bring up the concept of products now. Now, one of the things that we know CPAs don't do is offer products, but sometimes in financial planning, in order to accomplish financial planning, products are involved. And I know that this is a little bit of a sticky wicket sometimes, Rick, between CPAs and financial planners are the sale of products. Now, how do you make a CPA feel comfortable with you and the products you offer for them to be able to work with you and to refer customers, to refer their clients to you? And when you get through with that, we're going to get Doug to tell us something very similar.
Well, you know, Jim, it's kind of a two-way street, and hopefully there's a working partnership between both CPAs and financial planners. There's also a tendency sometimes for people to get into each other's territory. For example, some of the CPAs that I started working with years ago have now started to broaden their packages and their programs and their practices where they're also offering products for sale.
CPAs are offering products.
Right. No, they're moving into the financial planner arena,
yeah,
for several different reasons. And one of the things that we've done is we've sat down and talked to each other about how we can work together in spite of this. In other words, some of the clients that I've referred to them over the years, we have them put them on a special list so that the CPAs don't solicit those clients for different products and services.
I see. Doug, jump in here.
Yeah, what's happening across the country in my own state here of New Jersey just changed the law as late as October, I guess it was October last year, Jim, where we are now allowed to work on a commission basis. Some states that are still prohibited, I think we're up to 28 states now that permit commissions.
CPAs on commission.
Well, what that means is it's limited. I cannot sell a product to a client that I do any kind of audit or review work for.
Mm-hmm.
So our financial accounting type clients, we can't get involved with that. But if you come to me to have your tax return and some of your tax planning and maybe some estate planning done, and in the course of our work, we recommend and eventually get involved with the sale of a product, whether it's directly through our company, if we have the proper licenses with people on our staff that Rick was referring to, like the Series 6 and the Series 7, or if we refer the sale outside and that individual decides to share some of their commission with us. That was totally illegal up until, say, October in my state. And what's happening, though, is this whole trend is sweeping the country and more CPA firms. I would still say it's still a small minority, but more and more firms are getting into the sale or the association with sales of products. And frankly, I have to caution our audience a bit because, as everyone knows, if you've ever bought a car or any product that someone's making a commission, you realize that you do start to become commission-driven. And I think to get back on track, Jim, is what the balancing act of a firm like Rick's and mine tends to do is really protect the consumer. If he comes and recommends some products, whether they're commission-paying or not, we look at that and we say to our client, yeah, we completely endorse what Rick is advising here. It's you know, the type of thing that's going to reduce your taxes and provide better security in your retirement or whatever the fact situation might be. But you know, I think Rick will agree with me is whether it's a CPA or a financial planner or an attorney or anybody else, when you're working on a commission basis, you need to get your blinders on, so to speak, and not be driven to that commission, but think of what's really best for that taxpayer or that client.
And Rick, there actually are, there's a whole sub-industry of your industry that's fee-based only, no commissions.
Yeah, let's get into that after the break.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then, folks, we are going to move into some of the different retirement plans and how CPAs and financial planners work together to help small businesses provide retirement plans for themselves and for their employees. 888-822-8255. If you have a question, now's the time. We'll be right back. All right, heroes, welcome back. It's 33 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guests include Doug Stives, the managing partner of the tax department at Kirchen & Company, and Rick Pinion, president and owner of Pinion & Associates Financial Planners out of, is it Gaithersburg?
Bethesda.
I'm sorry about that, Rick. And Rick, I'd like for you to tell our audience how they can contact you if they'd like. Give us an 800 number and a local number.
Yeah, the 800 number is 1-800-296-4427. And for those that are listening to the greatest station in the world, that'd be MET, 1150 AM.
Hear, hear.
They can reach me at 301-652-4000.
All right. Yes, they do a great job. And I'm really looking forward, by the way, Rick, to meeting you during my stay in Washington, D.C. while I'm broadcasting from the Small Business Survival Summit. And also, I'm looking forward to meeting the folks at WMET, Glenn and Sandra. That's going to be a lot of fun. Doug, tell our audience how they can contact you if they like.
I'm in the wonderful state of New Jersey, and the phone number up here is 732-747-0500.
The Garden State.
It's beautiful here this morning, so you can make all the jokes you want, but I wouldn't trade where I am this morning for anything.
I would, Rick, Doug, I would never make a joke about New Jersey.
You wouldn't?
No.
Well, then you're in the minority.
Which exit?
And yeah,
I'm sorry. I heard
that one coming.
I couldn't resist that.
Time
all
for
right.
a break, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, Rick, you were making a point when we took a break.
Yeah, and it's a very important point, and I thought we'd talk a little bit about philosophy here if we could. There is a tendency for the whole industry, the financial planning industry, to move away from commission-based products over to a fee-based approach. And we have programs, we affectionately call them wrap programs. And the way that it works is a person will come in with a portfolio. That portfolio could be anywhere from $100,000 on up. And rather than charging individual fee commissions for buying or selling stock, many financial planners will charge them like a 1% or one half of 1% to manage that portfolio. Therefore, there's no incentive for the financial planner to be moving in and out of certain stocks or positions or mutual funds or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally think that's the theme of the industry today.
Mm-hmm.
And many people don't mind paying a fee, but they have an objection to paying a commission.
Right.
You agree with that, Doug? Or?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as we talked about before the break, some of my brethren are, you know, just so anxious to get their hands around commissions, and yet I agree with what Rick is saying, that the trend in the overall financial community is away from commissions.
Isn't it interesting the different consolidation stories that we're hearing, so many different industries, but who would have thunk it that the CPA industry and the financial planning industry would one day potentially, I mean, if you think about what we're talking about, the day is not too far down the road when maybe, you know, it's one-stop shopping.
Well, that's one of the terms that our various associations have been using, and I think the very important point we need to make is there's no one person who can provide you one-stop shopping, if even two or three people in an office.
Right.
You put Rick and I in a room, there's a lot of stuff that he has spent some of his 26 years, whatever you said, Rick, and, you know, some that we overlap on, but there's still an awful lot that even the two of us together don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has a corner on good ideas.
And as long as Congress is around, there'll be more tax laws than we can deal with, and in our industry, the Financial Accounting Standards Board is pumping stuff out that I don't even understand.
No question about that. Guys, let's move over and talk about some of the actual plans. Okay, what we're going to do first is, Doug, I'm going to let you go first this time. Someone comes to you and they're a small business and they want to start a plan for themselves and for their employees. Let's say they've got 15 employees, 10 or 15 employees, and what would be the scenario where you would help them and then where you would involve, and how would you involve a financial planner?
Okay, let me just give you kind of two preliminary paragraphs here. One is we're talking retirement plans. We're talking deferral of paying tax on income, basically. I mean, and what that implies, of course, is that you now have a business that isn't just starting up, but it's up and running and making a profit. And more specifically, making a profit beyond what you need for your reasonable needs to run your business and a salary for you and your insiders. And what we sit down with people and, well, let me make my second point, is the first thing you must do, and I hope Rick agrees with me here, is forget about retirement if you don't have sufficient medical insurance. There is no benefit that is more important than medical insurance that can destroy you and put you out of business and put your family in the poorhouse if you don't have adequate health insurance.
So I come to you and I tell you I want a retirement plan. The first thing you tell me, you ask me, is do I have a health insurance plan? And I say no. Then what do you say?
I send you to somebody who understands that industry, which is complicated, as we all agree.
And say, come back to me after you pay for that and then can afford retirement.
Let's budget that and get that in line. And if you know, you say, well, fine, I'm going to do that. Then at the same time, we continue to talk about a retirement plan. As Rick can tell you more about than I can, there are all kinds of retirement plans, but just to throw one out, if you have a corporation, which I think is the majority of our small businesses today, or even if you're a partnership or an LLC, you're going to set up typically a defined contribution plan to start with, where you're going to take up to 15% of your compensation and put it into this what we call qualified plan. I'll let Rick pick it up from there. That would be
Rick,
my
I would like
suggestion.
To hear. Thank you. And Doug, well said. Rick, I'd like to hear your comment on the health insurance issue.
Right, because health insurance is a major item. If we think of financial planning as a large pyramid, on the base of the pyramid, the foundation, you have your core products. For example, you have to have medical insurance, disability coverage, property and casualty, commercial insurance. And I think a person should have those satisfied before they move to the rung of the ladder.
Well, sounds like we have a consensus. Rick, thank you for that. Doug, stand by. We've got to take a break, folks. It's 39 after. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay with us, please. All right, we're back. It's 44 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guests include Doug Stives, CPA, the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show, and Rick Pinion, financial planner, the financial planner for the Small Business Advocate Show. And we're talking about how financial planners and CPAs work together and when they work together and how they work together to help small businesses accomplish their goals. Primarily, this discussion is about helping them with financial plans, I mean, with retirement plans, I should say. Rick, when we took a break, we were talking about, I just asked Doug to talk to us about how he would involve you know, what he would do when someone came to him to get a to have a retirement plan. When someone did the same thing with you, they came to you first. They actually had not been to their CPA. Does that happen very much?
Yeah. In fact, let me also disclose at this point too that Pinion Financial Services is independent of Walnut Street Securities,
mm-hmm.
and Walnut Street Securities is a member of both the NASD and the SIPC.
Right. Thank you for that.
We satisfied the lawyers.
The Walnut Street is your broker dealer, isn't it?
That's who I trade to. That's our broker dealer.
Yes. And they, as you say, a member of the NASD.
Right. And I'm a registered principal and a registered representative.
Right. Which is a whole different level of licensing, folks, being a registered principal.
Right. That's called a Series 24.
Right.
And that allows you to supervise other registered reps.
And you know, you might not know, you guys, neither one of you probably don't know that I at one time held a Series 22 and a Series 64.
Wow.
How about that? No, but that's not the same as a 7. Anyway, Rick, go ahead.
Anyway, what I was going to say in answer to your question, this is very important for the small business people that are out there listening right now. There's a lot of confusion in terms of which is the best pension plan for me. So what we do is when a person comes in and says, okay, we've got a business, we try to identify what their goals and objectives are. What is the size of the business? How much do they want to put away for the employees? Do they want to participate? So if we kind of gel this down, I would say the majority of the small business people that we talk to that have small firms are going to start with one of two plans. It's either going to be a simple IRA or what we call a SEP IRA. And many times CPAs will also recommend that they visit someone to talk about these plans as well, because the administration on these plans is very, very minimal. At the same time, it allows them to get started.
And you call that the last-minute IRA, don't you?
Yeah, the SEP IRA is a last-minute IRA.
Doug, jump in on that.
Yeah, well, what Rick is saying is that that's one that you can do right up until the time you file your tax return on April 15th. To have any kind of, I mentioned before the break, a corporate plan or a KEO plan or the more typical plans that we set up, you have to have those plans in place and an account opened up before December 31st or before your year end if you're on a fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
But I love those SEP IRAs because I have clients come in here in March and April and they've had more profit than they expected or some excess cash, and you know, we'll point out that they can dump, it's limited, it's 13.04% of your net income if you're not incorporated, but it's a godsend to be able to put some of that profit aside and not have to pay tax on it.
And Rick, you and I talked about that percentage once before, and I'm still trying to find out who the genius was that came up with 13.04%. Doug, do you know?
Oh, sure. What that is, this is called Stump the Accountant. I'm going to lose 90% of the people out there, but you guys will be with me here. If I have a corporate plan and I pay myself $100,000 during the year, I can put 15% or $15,000 into my corporate profit-sharing defined contribution plan. Now, if I'm self-employed and I make $115,000 net profit for me, profit that I'm going to pay tax on, and I want to take that same $15,000 and put it into a retirement plan, if you do the math, 15 divided by 115 is, guess what? 13.04%.
Amazing.
It's just math.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we got people shaking their heads riding along right now. I know that.
Well, Rick, we got that question answered, didn't we?
I hope they're still shaving as we speak.
I hope they didn't cut themselves on that answer, by the way.
The point we need to make is that a lot of people out there that say, hey, if you incorporate, you can put 15% of your profits away, and if you're not incorporated, it's only 13%, and that's simply not true. It works out to be exactly the same.
I see. All right. Okay, good. All right, Rick, now, next thing. They came to your office and they still need some help. Now, at what point in time do you bring the CPA in?
Well, I first ask them who their other professional contacts are, both CPAs and attorneys, and then I make a courtesy call to that individual to let them know that I'm working with one of their clients.
Mm-hmm.
And normally we either meet or we talk on the phone to try to work together to see what's the best plan for this particular person's circumstances. If I've taken a confidential fact finder on that individual, I will get permission to share that information with their CPA or their attorney,
mm-hmm.
because many times they've done the same thing on the other side. And each of us has information that's helpful to each other to help satisfy that basic need for a retirement plan.
Right. All right. Now, Doug, I know that your company has the ability, as you were saying, your company, because New Jersey has that law, your company has the ability to to provide some products, some level of products, right?
Yes, that's true.
But at what point in time, other notwithstanding the audit situation, the conflict of interest situation, at what point in time do you bring in other financial planner?
When we have a client who's decided he's going to do a retirement plan, some type, and if we decide that we want to bring in another outside consultant or a planner to answer your question, mm-hmm. to look at what type of plan is best, but I think even more importantly, Jim, is what are we going to invest in? Are we going to buy stocks? Are we going to buy mutual funds? Are we going to buy treasury bills? And the planner who has looked at that particular client's total business and personal picture is the man we need to talk to.
Exactly. And I want to talk when we come back about when there's a disagreement about how to invest that money. We're going to have a little tension here, folks, when we come back. It's 50 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Doug Stives and Rick Pinion. All right, we're back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us today. And our special guests are our good friends, Doug Stives, CPA, manager of the tax department at Kirchen & Company, the largest CPA firm in Red Bank, New Jersey, beautiful downtown Red Bank, New Jersey, and Rick Pinion, the president of Pinion Financial Services out of Bethesda, Maryland, associated with Walnut Street Securities, and we're talking about how CPAs work together with pension with financial planners, and how financial planners work together with pension with CPAs. And I'll tell you, folks, it's just been a little bit too syrupy for me with these two guys today. I want to get a little tension going here. I want to get some blood going, some body parts flying around here. I want to know what you guys do when you disagree about what to do with the money. Rick, you go first.
Well, I think obviously professionals disagree many times.
Yeah.
And I think especially when it comes into what we call risk tolerance. In other words, a person will be recommended by, say, a CPA to come into my office, and the person says that they want to invest in one particular stock, and I try to go back and say, wait a minute, this is not appropriate for this individual. They really should be in mutual funds.
Yeah.
And the reason for it is because we have to sit down together and work through exactly what this person's looking for.
Yeah.
And I'm just afraid a little bit sometimes of the liability issue as well, because 10 or 20 years later, the person can come back and say, gee, I should have never invested in that stock,
mm-hmm.
and yet, you know, you fellas told me that was a good idea.
All right. Now, I'm still not getting the kind of vitriol here that I want.
Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead, Doug. I knew I could count on you, Doug.
Lay it on me.
I'll tell you what gets my fur flying, or the fur flying here, is when a client calls me and says, I met with a planner, and I've already given him a deposit, or I've already paid a commission or paid a premium on a bunch of life insurance. And some planners will convince a client that life insurance is a wonderful investment. Now, Rick and I would certainly agree that life insurance has its place out there. And I know Rick wouldn't do this, but there are just too darn many people out there, some CPAs included, who are just commission hungry, and all they ever want to sell is something that has a bottom line of life insurance. And I'll say a second time, life insurance has a place, but I have had clients that have spent tens of thousands of dollars on life insurance that they didn't understand, or a life insurance product. You know, they come back in here and tell me they bought some kind of crazy split dollar reverse policy with a variable annuity in it that doesn't do anything but lose money. And, you know, all I see on my screen is that guy walked away with a big, big commission.
Rick, that sounds like somebody who was a life insurance agent who became a so-called financial planner, and at that moment in time, all he knew to talk about was the life insurance.
Yeah, but let me also respond this way, too. I mean, many CPAs love term insurance, but I think that there's a role for other insurance policies as well. And a lot of times when we're looking at a person's situation, there may be a need for a whole life or a variable universal life for different needs. So I think it's wrong to have a prejudice against all types of insurance except for just term insurance.
Now we're getting down to some good stuff here.
There you go.
Yeah, now we're starting to get into this a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Rick would agree with me here. Insurance is just so oversold, and some of my cheapest clients who complain every year about the fee and come in here and start a watch when I start to talk, will rush off and just be lured into some product. And I won't just say life insurance. I'll just say products that they don't understand, and they're victims of hard sell.
All right. This is great. I love this. I wish we had more time because I can just see the fisticuffs coming out here any minute.
Yeah,
I'm just
saying the same thing.
I'm just teasing, folks. No, we're having fun. Hey, guys, we got to wrap it up for this hour. Doug, as always, you were great. Thank you for that. And Rick, you were too, as always. And I'll see you soon.
Welcome to Washington.
Thank you very much. Doug, thanks a lot, buddy. I'll see you later.
Have a good one.
You guys were great. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.